Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
And being in India, the most populated place in the world, more than China, they have, I believe, if I can remember correctly, 17.6% of the entire population of the earth is in India. There are more people in India than anywhere else in the world. China's number two. I spent some of my years growing up in and out of Manhattan and then lived in Manhattan for a while. Anybody ever lived in a big city, millions of people. So Manhattan at Midtown, at rush hour, it's just pretty much wall-to-wall people, wall-to-wall traffic. Okay, it was like that times 10. And no matter what time of the day, there is traffic everywhere, and their kind of traffic is just awesome. Some of you would lose your ever-loving mind. Somebody said to me, just close your eyes. I'm like, what for? you're driving, weaving in and out. There's hardly any traffic lights. The lines are suggestions, really. I don't even think they're suggestions. I don't know why there's lines. They should just save the money on the paint, have no lines because nobody uses them. And all they do is drive around, try to miss each other. Hundreds of scooters everywhere. Families of four. Family of four on a moped. I mean, how do you even do that? I saw one little boy sleeping on the gas tank of his father's Enduro. Then he's sleeping on the gas tank. Forget about baby seats. Hey, I got no baby seats. Then the father's driving. Then there's the second child right behind him. And then mom right behind him. And somehow, very few crashes. We would get to street lights, or not street lights, but occasionally things would stop. And they have no tint. They need tinted windows when they're carrying large, bald, blue-eyed white men, because I don't think they've ever seen. It seemed like they never. I had kids like, ah! I was like, whoa! Freaking people out everywhere we went. I was literally on my entire trip, and I'm not exaggerating, was Vic. He was white. And I literally in 10 days saw three other white people. I mean, like, amazing. It was astounding. When we got to this gathering of pastors, 120 pastors showed up. Supposed to be 80, but it turned out to be 120. It was a good number. Only a good number. 120. And my job was the first one up to preach. And my job was to preach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost with 120 pastors in the room. I had no idea where people were, so I just preached and taught and right out of the book of Acts. And it came time to see if anybody wanted to get filled or who was filled with the Holy Ghost and who wasn't. 95% were not filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I kept preaching, and I just started seeing the fire fall. And I started seeing people getting filled with the Spirit all over. And then before you know it, we had them standing up, and like a wave, like a wind, they all got baptized in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues. There's a few that didn't. And then we had the team just go lay hands on everybody. And the atmosphere of that entire place changed for the next few days of that pastoral training time as we interviewed and spent time with pastors who want to become kings. And I'm not telling you we have 120 new churches in India, because we have a process of interviewing and making sure we don't recruit Judas. It's a discerning and a whole process, and I love every one of them. Not saying that there is, but there's a process, and we're going through that. And what's amazing to me is how God just poured out His Spirit, not just then, but all my life. As I've been a part of this thing for 30 years now, I've seen God releasing His power again and again and again and again. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 7, you may stand for the reading of God's word if you're able to. It's also on the screen. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which is engraved in letters on stone, came with glory. He's talking about the Ten Commandments, referring to Moses. Engraved on letters of stone. By the finger of God, by the way. The invention of Hebrew is the only language in the whole world that was written and invented by God. There's no other language in all the world that God created specifically. Hebrew was created by God. That's kind of incredible. It came with glory so that the Israelites could not look steadily on the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was. Will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? Let's pray. Father, move in power. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So Paul, right in the church at Corinth, is saying, wow, Moses had to wear a veil in front of his face to hide the glory so he didn't like blind people. And that glory was fading. It faded. But he then talks about the New Testament glory. Will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? How many of you, and it's a question mark, and how do you know what the answer to that is? Yes, emphatically. I mean, the Old Testament, tremendous glory, pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. All of the glory of the Old Testament pales in comparison to the glory of the New Testament, according to the Apostle Paul. He goes on to say, if the ministry, verse 9, that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts. Therefore, verse 12, as a result of that truth, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are what? Very bold. Favor follows bold, spirit-filled people. Blessings follow bold, spirit-filled people. I'm not bold so much because of my personality. I'm bold because I've tasted and I've seen, I've experienced his power. I've been set free. I've been delivered and I've seen countless others. And I don't know what you came in here with tonight. I don't know what you have need of tonight. I just know the one who sets the captives free is here by his Spirit. We know that theologically. He can heal you. He can deliver you. Those online. If you're here with a terminal disease, if you're here in great need, God's able to not only heal you, he's able to set you free and use you to be a trophy of his glory and his grace. And when that happens, when you really have an experience, an encounter with God, you will be bold. Something will happen to you. I just can't help myself at certain times. We went to an orphanage. And the man over the orphanage, he's been there for 20 years. He's raised 1,000 children. You can't adopt them. The orphans have to stay in the orphanage. He has 120 total boys and girls. 120 again, boys and girls. We go to this place. It is pristine. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's not disheveled. Everything's in order. God's a God of order. God's a God of structure. And you can make that a God too, and I would suggest you don't. I mean, if you're salt shakers, not quite right, you know, and you need to adjust it, you probably have a bondage. But there is also order and structure. Can you say amen? In fact, what you see on the outside is an expression of what's on the inside. I got like one amen. It's just true. Your inward reality will create your external circumstances. If you're wandering on the inside, you will wander on the outside. If you're settled on the inside, if you have peace and, and structure. And you'll have that on the outside too. I know one person that looks at people's nails. It's an interesting thing. Don't be staring at my nails right now. You look at your own. You say, well, I'm a mechanic. That's why I have grease on them. Okay. There's just something about that which is on the outside. I don't want to make a theology all about that, although it is true. Doctrine about your nails being clean and then you having Jesus on the inside, that's nonsense. If that's Jesus, would you just let him know that I'm preaching and he can take over in just a minute? Very good. Thanks. This is powerful. Look at this. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory that lasts? So I went to this orphanage, and we had no plans on going to the orphanage. It was just sprung on us, which we were happy to do as a divine interruption. And we went there and we met this couple. They were very successful San Francisco business people and entrepreneurs that hit it huge 20 years prior. God called them back to India, and they took all of their wealth and they invested in this orphanage. And these kids, you can go to my Instagram and see some of, they are so filled with joy. It's quite a thing to see. They're all filled with God. They all love God. They serve the Lord and they study the word and they're going to school and then they go to university, and after university they're becoming doctors and lawyers and people that'll impact the whole, kind of similar to Ivan Tate's ministry, what he does down there in Guatemala. And there came a moment when we didn't expect it. Nobody's ready to preach or anything. And the leader of the orphanage said, do you want to preach? I looked at him. I said, yes. I have no idea. I'm not having a prepared message. I stood up and looked at these kids, and I shared this prophetic word about God doesn't have any orphans, basically, and how God had a plan for their life. There's a boldness that comes when you experience God. You experience his power. You experience his forgiveness. You experience his word. You experience his glory. It'll put something in you that you won't be able to shut your mouth. No matter what kind of personality you have, you will be bold in your declaration. And you need to be bold to confront the enemy and drive him out of your home. Drive him out of your life. Drive him out of your mind. Drive him out of your finances. Drive him out of your physical health. You need to be bold to declare the power of God. If you can look at your life and it pales, it's lesser than the glory of what is talking about in about Moses, then that's not lining up with what this text says. And don't make an argument, well, you know, things are different. The gifts of your spirit passed away with the apostles. Okay, Bubba. You know, if that was true, don't you think there'd be a little verse in there like, and the gifts of the Spirit will end when the last... Don't you think the Lord... Yeah, it's not true. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's look back at this text. Therefore, we have such hope. We're very bold. How bold? How bold? Very bold. Verse 13, we're not like Moses who put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away, but their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ, only in who? In Christ is it taken away. I remember reading the word before I was born again. It was the most confusing thing ever. It made no sense. It was veiled. Verse 15, even to this day, when Moses read, the veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Verse 17, now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now with that, in the Greek, it says it like this. Where the Spirit of the Lord is allowed to be Lord, there's freedom. That's really what that says. And the reason that many churches don't have freedom, don't have power, don't have healing, don't have miracles, don't have joy, don't have hope, is because the Holy Spirit is not allowed to be Lord. He's not allowed to move. I mean, can I, you know, I have a little sheet here. I stayed away from this for the longest time. What do we call this? It's the order of service. Okay. I had friends of mine telling me, you need to do one of those, get organized. And I refused to do it. We stayed raw. Somebody, part of our church had left, they came back, and they said, I forgot how raw this place is. It's awesome. And we move into the big church, and well, before that, we started using this. This is great. It's also a suggestion, which I'm happy to violate at any time. This is not a performance. This is not some thing that sticks to a sheet. Now, it's good to have structure, and Paul talked about that. He said, we just need a First Testament, first century church, for just the fear of God just moves everywhere. And everybody can do whatever, and everybody can prophesy. That's not biblical. Paul gave structure. You know why? The fallenness of mankind. Oh, we just need to let everybody. No, we don't. We don't know where some of your hands have been. They prophesy instead of prophesy. It would be pathetic instead of prophetic, perhaps. So there is structure and there is training. We don't let just anybody up here preach. We don't just let anybody lay hands on people. We don't just let any Tom, Dick, and Harry go to children's church, work in the children's church. You got FBI background checks, fingerprint checks. We check every check you check, you check. You check that thing. Amen. And then even if the checks do check up and we don't feel like, and I got a check, you checked. Amen. You could have a clean slate, and if the Holy Spirit speaks to us about all of that. How many of you have kids and you're glad? It's a very secure, very safe, two unrelated people. Why do you do that? Because there's perverts out there that'll try to permeate the church or try to get in somewhere and take advantage. It is sad but true. Come on, lift your hands to heaven while I get my brain collected here and figure out what I'm going to say next. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you for greater glory. Thank you for a church that has freedom. And, Lord, I don't pretend to have apprehended it, but that which lies behind, we leave and we press on to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us never be settled in a place of happy with a little dabble, do you? I was in a church just recently. And they have like this super crazy focus on oil. Now, we have anointing oil. But I was so turned off a couple years ago that I don't use oil all that much, but we do use it. I use it occasionally. Occasionally, I'll dump a whole jar on somebody. I will use it, but you don't have to have oil to pray for the sick. Oh, no, Scripture says. Yet the Scripture does say in the book of James, go find me another text. You might have a challenge doing that because it's not everywhere. And I've preached on that before. So oil's important. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit, but you don't have to have oil to pray for the sick. I have oil that runs through me. And I was at a church where it was just like everybody, I mean, it came time to pray for the sick. And everybody that's praying for the sick kind of huddled around. And so like five people get in, and then they're making a sign of the cross on everybody's head. To be healed. Be healed. Wait. Has anybody ever seen that? That's weird, man. Come on, somebody say that's unusual. If I haven't offended you yet, I'm going to try here in the next few moments. If we have anything that's weird, we should hear about that. Some of you might remember, we had somebody that couldn't worship unless they took their shoes off and put them in the sound booth. It was a thing. They needed to put their shoes back on. Chulé. Which is Brazilian for stinky feet. Portuguese. All right, let's get back into this. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Holy Spirit is allowed to be Lord, there's freedom. In your own life, there's a glory that God wants to bring. There's a glory that God wants to release in your life. But if you don't let him have his way, how's that going to happen? How's that going to happen if you don't allow him to have freedom? And he speaks to you. And he leads you. and he guides you and he directs you. Something's happened to me in recent years that has just caused my faith to skyrocket in the area of divine protection. And I follow the peace of God. And when there's no peace, the game stops. I will pull over my car. I will stop. I'm not moving forward. And I mean, that happens on a regular basis. We'd be pulling out. We were in India. And we're heading off, and there's joy and everything. And all of a sudden, I feel this turn. I said, stop. We stop. Put it in neutral. Let's pray for a minute. We pray for a few minutes. Boof. Peace again. Let's go. That's how I live my life. And as a result, God's power is manifested in my life and in your life the same way. You've got to be led by him. You'll be in the right place at the right time. You won't be in the wrong place at the wrong time. We preached at this church, these pastors, 120 power of God. That night we went to smaller churches, which were heartbreaking. Heartbreaking to be there. We preached in three different smaller churches. We had like a 15-hour day, and we come back and thought, that's exhausting and phenomenal. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to sit in your room in Hyderabad, India, and watch Netflix? I mean, let's save the lost. Let's heal the sick. Let's set the captives free. So we were burning it at both ends, and we did. That next night, though, we just felt like, no, we should not be going out again to these smaller churches. It was semi-dangerous. It just felt like, no, let's not do that. And I had great peace about helping to make that decision. And so we went through a day of training these pastors. Get to the afternoon, and the Lord spoke to me and said, so what are you going to do tonight? I thought, well, I don't know. He said, preach, son. I thought, all right. I went and told the team, I said, I'm released to preach. Send me wherever you want to send me. And the pastor's eyes just go silver dollars, and he says, oh, I have a place. I said, okay, great, let's go. I didn't ask any questions, felt good about it. We're driving there, it takes a long time. We pass this Hindu temple, and it was on a holy day where there was a lot of craziness around India. They throw colors all over people, and some of it's a little violent. As we're driving in, Pastor Michael's talking about going from glory to glory, talking about being led by the Spirit, talking about having revival really on the inside in your heart. Carry it. You got to carry it. You got to look for it. You got to be bold. You got to apprehend it. I mean, look who's here tonight. Praise God. Jesse's not here, but you're here. This is a hungry and thirsty crew. I think we should do that next time, but then bring Jesse back. And then you actually get the hungry and thirsty people that aren't here for just to jet. I'm not against coming to somewhere because you have a powerful guest speaker, but I'm blessed you're here tonight. As we're driving in, I hear Pastor Michael talking to the pastor, and the pastor says, in the village next to this one, they killed the pastor. I'm like, praise the Lord. Still have peace. Everything's good. I'm driving in, and he said, the village on the other side, they beat pastors beyond recognition, but they come back and they still preach. And we're like, wow. And so Michael asks, what about the village we're going to? He says, he just laughs. I'm like, what does that even mean? Right at that time, we're coming in this road, and there's random demonized people everywhere. Like, I don't know how to describe to you. It would be like zombies. That's the way they look. I put my visor down because I'm like, they need tinted windows, dude. Seriously, they need tinted windows for people like me and John Duke to just stand out like a sore thumb. So I kind of got the thing down. And people are looking, and we're driving by, just kind of like looking away. Hopefully the glare is not coming off the top of my skull. And we drive past this Hindu temple. It is beyond dark. However, that darkness is outside this glory bubble we're in. And that is how I would describe it. God's power in us, carrying us through tremendous demonized people and darkness. We drive in, and there's these temple people. They're standing like children of the corn. Not that I ever saw the movie, but they're all standing kind of independently. Really weird. Well, we go in, and there's these stone breaker people, the laborers. Mostly women and children, very few men. We have revival, cast out devils, heal the sick, set the captives free. And It was awesome. And then something shifts, and I can feel it. It's the service is over. I'm talking with somebody, and they're wanting me to bless their family. It's the third family that we're blessing and praying for. And I feel this something coming from behind. I can feel it. I'm just thinking, oh. Right at that moment, the pastor walks up and says, we need to go now. Get in the car now, pastor. Get in the car. I'm like, amen. I feel led of the Lord to get in the car right now. I have, my peace is leaving. I get in the car. We get in. I'm not moving as fast as he wanted me to. I'm walking in the car. He says, faster. We get in the car. The doors close. And I look and you see these, I'm going to call them temple zombies, coming down the hill. And we drove out like as the dragon was shutting its mouth. We like drove out. That's because you prayed and because we listened and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He will lead you. He will guide you with the Spirit of the Lord. There's liberty, but where you don't allow him to lead you, you're going to have bondage. And I've seen a lot of bondage in church. I've seen a lot of bondage in people's lives. You don't have to be bound anymore. You don't have to be addicted anymore. You don't have to be broken anymore. You don't have to be sad anymore. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning to those who call on his name, to those who believe. Revival starts on the inside of you. You got to have an encounter with God. Verse 17, now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Verse 18, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is spirit, who is the spirit. I'm going to read it again. Concentrate, bump your neighbor, focus a little bit. I think it's on the screen. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the spirit. Leave the scripture up. The more you look into the things of God, the more you'll become like him. The more you read his word, the more you're led by him, the more you pray in tongues. The more you pray in the spirit, the more you lay hands on the sick and see them recover. The more you do the God stuff, the more you'll be like him. He'll change you. Oh, how many of you have been changed by God's power? How many of you have been impacted by the truth of his word? How many of you realize you're not a jerk like you used to be? Come on, somebody. Some of you need to look a little closer, maybe. Some of you need to contemplate maybe a little bit more. Bump your neighbor and say, are you contemplating the Lord's glory? Contemplate the Lord's glory. You're being transformed. There's a transformation, metamorpho. There's a shift that takes place in the heart of every man, woman, and child who will look into the glory of God, will contemplate, will consider, will look at. That which you behold, you will become. There's another way to say it. Let me say that one more time. What you are beholding, what you are contemplating, what you are meditating on, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. If you want to move to another level of power and glory and favor, look into the beautiful word. Look into God's presence. Look into his beautiful face and be changed. Be transformed. When they, in the book of Hebrews, it talks about Moses' parents. And when Moses was born, they're honored in the hall of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, they're honored because when they saw the baby was beautiful, they rejected the command of Pharaoh to give their child over. What do you mean when they saw the... Listen, every baby's beautiful according to their parents. I've seen some baby. All babies are beautiful. That's not even... I've seen some crazy babies. Anybody else? Am I the only one? Liars go to hell. Anybody ever seen some crazy? I've seen some crazy, crazy kids. We love them. Of course we do. Made in God's image. But this text, when you read that in Hebrews 11, it's right at the first front part of it. When they saw that their baby was a beautiful child, it's not that the baby's a beautiful child in the way that you would see it. The real definition there is when they saw something, listen closely, listen, everybody listening, when they saw something of the city, is what it says. What do you mean something of the city? Well, it sure ain't talking about New Delhi or Hyderabad or Wasilla. It's talking about the city, the heavenly city. The streets are paved with gold, whose gate is a pearl. The glory of God, there's no sun, the glory provides light. That city, talking about that city. When they saw something of the city, and go ahead, be a good Berean, go study that out, go look at it. I'm not just making it up, I would never do that to you. When they looked at this baby and they saw something of heaven, can I say it that way? More than an average child. They had children, now here's Moses. And they thought, oh, no matter what he says, you can't have this one. When you have an encounter with God, when you experience God, it'll change you. Going to church doesn't become some drudgery. Well, some churches have become a drudgery. But it's dead. And there are dead churches. I love the body of Christ, but there's some dead places. But when you encounter God, when you experience His glory, it will change you. It'll change you. And you'll happily do whatever He asks you to because you've experienced Him. It's not something that you just, oh, do I have? He's the highest thing. Have you experienced Him like that? Jane Hammond said, Alaska will be an upper room for the nation in 2024. In 2025, she basically said there's an appointed time for Alaska and that God was going to visit us, not with just revival, but with what history will call the Great Alaskan Awakening. That's why I planned this. I thought Jesse's flying 6 hours in his jet to come and preach for us for a few hours and fly all the way back home. People will come out for that. I said, let's just have church all weekend. Why not? Because maybe the veil will be pulled back for some people and they'll be set free and they'll experience God's power and glory and they'll be changed. How many of you have been changed? Wave at me. You've been changed. The Old Testament glory is wonderful, but revival really begins with you. You have to have an awakening. You have to get hungry and thirsty for God. If you're not, something's wrong. The very word for soul is nefesh in the Hebrew. It means to thirst. Literally, you are designed by God with the DNA, spiritual DNA of God. I mean, He said God created DNA or made in His image. Did you hear the stupidest thing I just heard when I was in India? I read it. They've discovered, scientists have discovered, it's official. This is official, that they have traced genetically all humans back to one male and one female. I'm like, no kidding. No, like they can prove it. They're like, they really did start with one man and one woman. We've known that for years. Science is caught up. It's amazing when you read God's promises or see God's truth. Might not be backed by science right now, but just wait. They used to think that butter was bad for you. I'm thank God that my mother fed us butter every day. We never went to that World War II axle grease, margarine or whatever they called it. Margarine will kill you. Never mind the 72 vaccines that they give. Oh, did I just say that? There you go. Turn to Ezekiel 36. Then I'll sprinkle, verse 25, then I will sprinkle water on you, and you shall be clean. It's a prophetic word about having our sins clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I've found this, and to all of you who have been serving God for any length of time, you'll know this to be true. You have to have both a hard heart and a thin and a tender heart. And I'll tell you what I mean about that. You have to have a hard heart towards criticism. I was a little tired today. I'm glad that my wife said, you just need to chill about that, what you just read. I saw some comments on Facebook. I don't often go there. I want to correct one of the comments I saw. They were lambasting Brother Jesse. And they took the cause of Kings. Now, yes, Jesse's this and Jesse's that, but I've been to Kings, and that's a great church. And Pastor Daniel, he's a great pastor, and he talks about, you know, what a loser he is. And all that. I thought, what? I was like, I never said that. He talks about how broken he is and all that and how we need God. Yeah, I talk about how we need God. I am not broken. I've been set free. I've been delivered. Oh, I used to have a giant L on my forehead, but I was set free by the blood of the Lamb on the new creation. So let's just set the record straight. I agree with everything that Brother Jesse said last night, and we'll all stand before the throne of God. And all these people that cherry pick out of these faith preachers, they cherry pick this stuff and say some things and label them when they're just twice the son of Jesus, help me right now. Makes me really irritated. If you don't deal with stuff, listen, if you don't confront things in your family, in your marriage, with your children, you'll have the devil running stuff. And if you don't confront things in a church, you'll have a messy, messed up, undermining, greedy, broken. We all need to be corrected, and God does that. And God lovingly corrects and instructs us. Did anybody repent this week besides me? Yeah, the good, then you're not illegitimate. The Father corrects you this week? If you didn't, you should begin to question yourself. But you have to have a tender heart towards the things of the Spirit. And you must have a hard heart towards the things of criticism. Hebrews 3, verse 12. Hebrews 3, verse 12. Beloved brethren, beware. Beware, brethren, lest any of you have an evil heart of unbelief and depart from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hindered through the deceitfulness of sin. For we become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it said today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart as you did in the rebellion. Verse 16. For who, having heard, rebelled indeed? Was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that he would not enter his rest, but those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter his rest because of unbelief. You have to confront yourself daily. Examine your heart daily. You got to have revival daily. You have to get touched daily. Manna is a picture that you can only gather the word of the Lord once a day. Once a day, you can't just get it for a few weeks and then not do anything. It's relationship. My wife's not feeling the best. She'll be healed soon. She's healed already by faith. We need a date. Dude, I've been gone for weeks. Need a date, girl? It's time for a date. I could take you out and eat some steak. Jesus' name. That's relationship. You have a relationship with your spouse, a relationship with your kids. You have a relationship with the Lord. I mean, how would it be if I came home from India and it's like, what's for dinner? What's up? Hey, yeah, no. And I just go about my own thing. That's not relationship. I was here last night. I didn't get to greet some of my staff. I called some of them that the Lord brought to my tired, jet-lagged brain and greeted them. I said, hey, I didn't get to say hi. It's good to see you. Why would I do that? Because I care. Because I love them. And I didn't get to see them. I didn't get to welcome them. I didn't get to say hi. That's the way it is with the Lord. It's a relationship. And you have to stay hard to criticism of people who don't like you and don't do the right thing or whatever. And you need to stay tender before God. You need to have revival every single day. How's your heart right now? Come on, check your heart right now. How's your heart right now? Daily walk in revival. Paul talks about people that shipwreck their faith. Can I have some keys, please? Talk about people that shipwreck their faith. You know, people that rob banks don't wake up that day and just be like, oh, I just want to rob a bank. And then they go and rob a bank. You know how that works? They're like, they think about robbing a bank, then they start planning what bank they're going to rob, and day after day, they start making a plan. You didn't just have a flat tire blowout. Your tread's been wearing thin for a long time. You know you needed some new winter tires, but you didn't do it. I'm talking spiritually. If you're going to walk in God's power and fire, it's a daily thing. Check the oil, baby. How's it? Check that some of you are 3 quarts low on your dipstick. I had a car, when it was a few quarts low, I would hear it tick. It's the valves. Anybody else like hypersensitive to the sound of the vehicles you drive? I'm like, I hear something. They're like, you know you dumb. Yes, I do. And I'd stop and I'd listen. Oil. Some of you are 3 quarts low. You get really low, you're going to have a motor that sees. Revival's every day. It's every day keeping your heart right. It's every day praying in the Spirit. It's every day loving God. Every day getting in the Word. It's every day relating to people. Keeping it right. Keeping it right. Confronting what's not right. Turning the other cheek until you're out of cheeks. You keep turning. I ran out of cheeks. Lift your hands to heaven. God wants to use you. God wants to empower you. And every day you'll be faced with an offense or something that happens in your life where the Lord's putting his finger on things. Revival's every day. If we're going to have an awakening, you know how that happens. It happens in your home and in the church. I'm not going to shipwreck my faith. I'm making every plan not to shipwreck my faith. So I had these dreams. I it seems like I had hundreds of dreams today. I mean, 50. Reoccurring, kind of the same ones. Couldn't quite discern what was happening, which is a little unusual. And so as I woke from my last nap, I thought, you know something? Maybe I was defiled. Maybe I got defiled in India. Maybe things aren't 100% right. I thought, Lord, yep, I'm calling my pastor. I called Dr. Morocco. God, put him on speakerphone. I said, hey, pastor, everything's good. He's like, all right, you're recovering. I said, I am. I said, I got some kind of unusual stuff going on. And he says, well, you sure do. I'm like, yeah, I do. How do you know? You know? He's like, you just got back from India. And he told me about Dick Burnell. How many of you know Pastor Dick Burnell? Great pastor from California. Every time he got back from India, he would go into a deep depression, have fear and anxiety. He said, yeah, and he would have to just break out of that. He said, so it could be that maybe you've been defiled. No, I don't feel like I was defiled, but the dream thing, something just different about it. And I thought, no, I'm just going to shoot it right straight in the head right now. So I called doctor, told him what was going on. He's like, yeah, let me pray for you. And so he's like, Dr. Morocco's amazing. He's like, well, Pastor Daniel, let me pray for you. Shoba, ta, ta, sha, ta, comes right through the phone. I was like, whoa. I lifted my hands and Karen's reaching her hands out towards me. Power of God, come on me. Now, I don't know if I was defiled, but if I was, I'm not anymore. Some of you allow things to happen in your life, but you got to cleanse it. You got to flush it. You got to get it out. You got to confront it. Some of you saw some stuff that you shouldn't have been looking at, and then you wonder why you keep looking or you got a little bit of a lazy eye. You got lust got on you. Some of you are offended, and every time you see someone that looks like your ex-husband, looks like your ex-wife, you just want a spirit of slap comes on you. You want to fix them. You need to be set free. Revival's every day. How's your heart? Want to have an outpouring? I love what this guy Bobby said. This brother Bobby, you remember him, he played the banjo. I've done this before, but he said this. He said, you want to have revival? Just put a circle around you and have it. And then wait for a Jesse or wait for a Benny or wait for whatever guest speaker's going to come and Benny Hinn's coming, yeah. And they're going to say whatever they want to. You rub your lint together and pray in tongues. I don't, do whatever you want. We're going to obey God. We're all imperfect men, and everybody has moments that are maybe not perfect. How about you? How about you? You ever had one of those? The moment you have an attitude, you got to deal with it. The moment you see something creeping up, for me, it was this unusual dream. Not normal. Not bad, really, but oh, went after it. Prayed for myself, had doctor pray for me. Do you have anybody like that? You have anybody in your life you can call, talk? Should be your spouse, of course, number one. If you don't have a spouse, have a good best friend, have a bestie, someone that loves God. Be honest. Have a hard heart towards the things of criticism. And don't let praise push you up over the edge either. The way you respond to criticism and praise, it determines what's actually on the inside of you. Don't let somebody puff you up where you start thinking that you're all that, three bags of chips and two Coca-Colas. Lift your hands to heaven. God is bringing us into a season of a time of awakening. He's bringing us to a place of fulfillment and joy. He's bringing us from glory to glory, glory to glory. He's bringing us. He's pouring out his spirit on his sons and his daughters. He's bringing people from afar, children from the ends of the earth. He's gathering his beloved. He's bringing forth even the great ingathering, the fullness of the Gentiles, and the time clock. It's getting very late. Jesus is coming soon. Don't play church. Don't play religious games. Come before him if we continue in our faith. If we continue in our faith. What if you don't? In other words, there's a falling away. The Bible talks about apostasy. The Bible talks that there'll be a great falling away. Now, I don't think we've had a great ingathering, but there's going to come a great falling away. A falling away means that you don't make it to heaven. I want to make it. Amen. So help me God. I'm going to watch my gait. I'm going to watch my thoughts. I'm going to stay filled with the Spirit. I'm going to read the Word. I'm going to confront what needs to be confronted in my life and anybody that I love and anybody I'm relationship with. I'm going to be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to walk in His ways. I'm going to be transformed. I'm going to behold His glory and be changed into His image from day to day. You say, well, that sounds kind of arrogant. It's just scriptural. That's where I've purposed my heart. I'm going to walk in divine healing. I'm going to walk in hope. I'm going to walk in peace. I'm going to see the provision of God. Buildings paid off. Eagle River has a facility in Jesus' name. They need a facility. How about you? Walk in revival. Deal with your attitudes.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.